listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, 907 on ESPN 97.5. Peter Gammons is joining us. This is a short segment. We went a little long with Dana, but that's okay. SMU Sonny is here, okay? And SMU Sonny is eating some words from last week because he was, was he crowing around? He ain't crowing around no more, are you, Sonny?
No, not really. But, man, we had a blast with that game, and I just want to call in and say congrats to the Cougs. It was a fun environment. The Cougs fans, I like being around them. And we're going to be back December 4th, so mark your calendar.
So,
we're going to take down Cincy. It's going to be us beating Cincy, and we're going to be back in Houston.
How is that going to happen when you're in third place? How are you playing? Oh, you're going to take down Cincinnati in the
regular season.
Yeah, you play in the regular season.
Yeah.
You're going to beat Cincinnati, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, luckily for the Cougs, they don't have to play Cincinnati, so we're going to take care of them for y'all. And we control our own destiny. We got a couple games before then, some tough teams, but I'm looking forward to hopefully winning out and coming back to Houston. I think that'd be awesome to run it back.
How disappointed are you in Sonny Dykes kicking off to Marcus Jones with 30 seconds left?
I mean, that was his first loss against the Cougs. I'm a numbers guy like Lance. He's 2-1 against U of H, just so we're tracking that. And I think a lot of credit goes to the U of H kicker for making that 51-yarder early in the game. And, a little more time off the clock, we could have squibbed it. But, I mean, with the way they're moving the ball and the way that guy could hit field goals, I think that factored in. It's the ultimate team game. And, people are coming after Sonny. I get it, but you guys, I mean, the Cougs squibbed it to us, and we took it back to the 35. So that was a field goal right there if we needed it, but we needed the touchdown. So I think, the wrong move, and then we should have – the bigger issue, like Sonny said, was we didn't run the clock down and then kick it, but we were just indecisive. And so that's the way it goes. But hopefully we can keep it going and be back in Houston. But awesome environment. I mean, it was – we had a blast. A lot of my Houston friends came out, even though they didn't go to SMU or U of H, and we had a great time. So just wanted to call in and say congrats, and hopefully we'll be back.
Yeah. All right. SMU Sonny. I like how contrite he is. I like.
He's a level-headed guy. Now, Sonny.
Not before the game he was.
Oh, hold on. He hung up. I wanted to ask him. He played. He had Tops Drop by Fat Pat. That was a Houston song, and you turned it into a Mustang rap.
Oh, yeah.
And it made me, like, was that an intentional, we're going to take your song and we're going to put it, like, was that an intentional diss when Sonny made his raps? And how much production value goes into Sonny's raps? I wanted to ask that, too. The answer, I think, was going to be very little.
Yeah.
He plays something on a phone or on an iPad, and then he raps into his phone with that playing in the background. Because it sounds like it's on... It almost sounds like it's old school tape recorder is what it sounds
mm-hmm,
like.
Mm-hmm.
The lack of any bass, all treble, very tinny sounding. But I think that's what gives it its hard edge.
Yeah. You know, they had Massey return to kick, too, in this football game.
Mm-hmm.
They both have
great game.
Great kick returners. Massey's pretty good, too, now. So that was – but one did it at the most important time, 30 seconds left in the game. And the other one did it to start the second half. Didn't really matter, did it?
Well, the way the first half ended, come out second half, and all of a sudden SMU takes one back to the house on the kickoff. How many teams would have gone, oh, crap, you know what? We tried. Good job. But no, they were like,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
gave them the lead. You're in a kickback. We got a guy who does that even better.
Yep, watch. Watch, with 30 seconds left. We'll see how that works out for you.
If you didn't hear, by the way, if you didn't hear Gilbert earlier, you probably need to get into the Hour 2 podcast by going to ESPN975.com. Go to podcast, listen to Hour 2, and hear it, because he answered questions as the Texans general manager. He answered questions as the Astros general manager. We found out, I found out the hard way not to ask him about college football. It was turned into a thing. And also, because people were going, I'm just getting through through some tweets from earlier in the show, John. People just really lost their mind over Gilbert's performance this time around. Uncle Drayton says, have you considered taking Gilbert to Las Vegas with you and getting matching gray suits and playing some blackjack? I would never take Gilbert to Las Vegas. That would not be something that I would potentially do. It's not going to actually happen. Something else before we get... So, coming up next, we got Peter Gammons. Before we do that, the details of Henry Ruggs' his DUI that ended with a collision.
It's kind of hard to start that here. It was... let's do it after we talk to Peter Gammons.
We'll do that
at
9:30.
Yeah.
It's as bad as it gets.
But simple seats right now.
That's as good as it gets. As a matter of fact, I want the wife to, you know, we haven't been to see her Longhorns all year long, so we're looking at Friday after Thanksgiving. And I can get six tickets actually in the lower bowl. I'm looking at this, six for meets for two of us, the four kids. I assume Drake's not going. For $259.80 for six tickets in the lower bowl, let me check delivery fee. Let's see, it says zero. All right, well, let me check service fees. Zero. All I'd pay is the price of the tickets and the sales tax, and that's it. Zone, lower corner, $40 each. You are going to get the lowest prices, and the big reason for that, I just had to buy some Jim Jeffries tickets, and I had to go through Ticketmaster. Oh, my God. The price I thought I was going to pay, and then you go through the actual the checkout process, and they hit you with the convenience fees. It's a joke how much extra you pay. It is infuriating. I want Simple Seats to get in on the comedy act as well so I can do that with them. Lowest prices, best seats. It's SimpleSeats.com.
We'll take a short break. Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5.
All right, the way to do your energy is Champion Energy. Champion.energy/1560. Look, it's cooling down. I know that. Okay, you went through the summer months. Were your bills just ridiculous? Because if they were, then you're not with Champion Energy. What I need you to do is go to champion.energy/1560 and start saving now. You will love Champion Energy because it will be less. Period, exclamation point. And the service is second to none. J.D. Power and Associates says it, not me. It's always happens every single year. They're the best. You're looking for the best way to get that electricity at a better price. It happens every day. Champion.energy/1560.
You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Peter Gammons joining us right now. Longtime baseball writer with The Athletic now. And he is just one of the best. He's on the Mount Rushmore of baseball.
Musician.
Writers. And, yeah, musician. A musician as well. He does it all. He's a renaissance man.
When I was coming up in this business, one of the guys that me and my buddy Chris Solis would always talk about was Peter Gammons. Watching Gammons. You know, Peter joins us right now. But just giving you your flowers right now. Just been such a great voice of baseball, a guy who is really, you know, kind of at the forefront of I think the thinking man's baseball analyst. And I want to ask you, and you don't have to comment on that, but we appreciate everything you've done here in the sport and watching
you
over the years.
Thank you very much.
Sure, absolutely. I got to tell you, man, I really enjoyed watching John Smoltz call a baseball game. And I know there are some Astros fans who, you know, everybody who calls a game against the Astros is biased. And then I had Braves fans who thought that John Smoltz was being intentionally unbiased and not giving the Braves a fair shake. I thought getting into the mind of a pitcher like John Smoltz as he took you through at bats was throughout the playoffs was one of the most fascinating and fulfilling things as a viewer that I've experienced in watching baseball.
I think he's wonderful. I'm glad you said that because John is emotional, and he talks as if he's sitting next to you watching the game with you in the stands, which I really like. And but you know, there are things he's worried about, too much use of relief pitchers and starting pitchers not pitching enough. But you know, frankly, I worry about it too. I worry about these guys, you know, up and down, and blowing out their arms. I mean, I think what San Diego had 13 pitchers on the disabled list at one point this year. And you know, I think he's fascinating. You know, for the first time I ever met him when he was back in like 1990, I've always found him to be a really fascinating guy. He's very smart. And I think it's all right to be opinionated and to have strong feelings about pitchers. And let's face it, he's been in positions that not many broadcasters have been in. I mean, he's done it starting games of being nothing, and going into the 10th inning in the seventh game of the World Series. He's closed out games in the World Series. I call him often just to, you know, talk about pitching and certain things that pitchers do, and he's fabulous. And he couldn't be more generous with his time, too, as long as he's not out on the golf course.
Well, exactly. Peter Gammon's with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. He did a really nice piece in The Athletic on Brent Strom. But, Peter, Brent Strom here is beloved. You think a pitching coach doesn't get the kind of love. This guy, a lot of people are worried right now about Brent Strom leaving. He says the young guys are ready to take over, but how much will the Astros miss Brent Strom when he's gone?
They'll miss him. I think one of the things that's most interesting, but I mean, his history, I think he's, you know, people like, I mean, Kyle Snyder in Tampa, you mention his name and people go, oh, no. I got it all for Brent Strom. And he used to follow him around the country and listen to his lectures and talks. And Chris Fetter in Detroit is a great young pitching coach. Matt Blake with the Yankees, who I think is really good. They're all people that so much of their lives as pitching coaches have been framed by Brent. And I think very underrated is the fact that he's bilingual. He lives in Mexico in the off season, and I mean, you look at all those really good young pitchers that they developed. They did such a great job. And then it's so much all part of, like, but being able to relate to everybody. And, yeah, he's, 72 years old or whatever, it doesn't matter. He's as young as ever. And, you know, that stuff with Garcia when he had the knee problem, and he could identify that he just wasn't pushing off the mound right. And, and they went, when they were in Boston for the first game, he just took him out there and they worked in the bullpen, and that's exactly what was wrong. He was pushing off his foot position on the rubber wasn't right. And he came back and pitched a great game. I think the world of him. And he's a character. It's a lot of fun. I thought that was really interesting, and obviously, you know, AJ Hinch is a tremendous manager. But I thought, and I know my good friend Buck Showalter said it from the beginning before he even went and interviewed with the Astros. Said, you know what, in this situation, coming off the so-called scandal, the one guy they got to hire Dusty. And, you know, to have Dusty and Brent Strom there together, and we talk about all the innovations and the things that change in the game, and we admire them. But these two guys have been on the ground floor and watched the game evolve. And so in so many ways, they're able to adjust to all new ideas that come along. And in the case of, you know, what the Astros were built on early, the high fastball, curveball, attacking the strike zone up. That was what Brent Strom always believed in. And the St. Louis Cardinals didn't agree with him because they were very sinker slider oriented. And to Jeff Luhnow's credit, I mean, he understood he understood that Brent was really onto something and had just a tremendous impact on how the game's changed. Now we're changing back, and we're seeing, you know, the use of sinkers and the high, you know, the four-seam high fastball and the two-seam sinkers. I mean, they're all mixed together, but that's just the way the game changes from year to year and or decade to decade or generation to generation.
Yeah, I thought, you know, it was a big deal was made of that. I could sense people wanted to figure out how the Astros cheated to add 3 miles an hour on Luis Garcia's fastball. But you pointed that out. I mean, Brent Strom just found something. He found something with the delivery and the plant foot of Framber Valdez, which is why he got such a vastly different result in Game 2 against the Red Sox as opposed to Game 1. And obviously, Smoltz has an in over there, and they're willing to talk to him because he had all that information that he was able to disseminate on television. With the departure of Brent Strom, are you hearing or do you expect Strom to show up in some other capacity? Because he clearly didn't say for sure that he was retiring. I didn't hear that come out of his mouth, even though that appeared to be a potential option. He didn't say for sure that's the case.
Oh, I don't think he'll retire. I think what you'll see is that he goes out and he goes back and speaks again, and he'll do things. I'm sure he'll come back and help out with the Astros and maybe up and down the organization. Maybe the game preparation, the everyday grind. He's been doing it for a good long time, but there's a lot more that he can do his impact on other people. If I just give an example, there's a guy that I've known. I actually covered him in high school. And Ace Adams, a left-handed pitcher. I believe when he pitched for the University of Michigan, he's the only person that ever struck out Dave Winfield 4 times in a game. But he was a pitching coach. He worked with Brent in Montreal. And they were both in the minor leagues and tremendously impact. Was with him in St. Louis, was with him in Houston in the minor leagues for a while. He retired, but he was in their system. And he helps out. There's a team out in Western Massachusetts, but, 18 and under team. So when the Astros were in Boston in May, Brett, got a car service and went out to, I think it's 2 hours to where they work out, and gave like an hour and a half lecture to all the pitchers, worked with the pitchers, went back and was in Boston in time to do the bullpen was with the pitchers at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I mean, that's just that's who he is. I mean, and I think he'll enjoy that going around and talking about philosophies and so forth. I think it actually will work out very well for him if he does that. And I hope he does. He deserves to enjoy himself. You go back and see how as a freshman at USC, he won 2 games in the College World Series as Rod Dedeaux and the Trojans won another one. It's been a long career and just a tremendous devotion to loving baseball. And, I was sorry. The Astros do not. I thought they would win. They didn't. So good luck to the Braves. But I really enjoyed the Astros team. And I thought that the two of them together gave such a Dusty and Brent so loved baseball. But I thought it really rubbed off. I mean, until maybe near the end where they were struggling hitting and so forth and there were guys that are better players and how they played in the World Series. I thought that part of it was that joy and the joy of bringing along a lot of young players. I mean, some of those young outfielders that came up and played, plus Miles Straw that enabled them to go out and make a deal for a good relief pitcher. I thought it was fascinating. The two of them, along with, I thought James Click was a tremendous pick to be the general manager. It's just a little different style and everything. That's good. Mm-hmm. But it was a really fun thing. I really enjoyed it. My wife kidded me about, I really like this Astros team. I know there are some guys, obviously, some guys are going to leave and so forth. But contrary to all the booing and so forth that goes on, I have a totally different feeling. It happened. It's unfortunate. But I've known Alex Cora well since 2002. He didn't get booed everywhere, and it changed his life in certain ways. But yeah, because he was distraught over what he thought it did to his family. But it turned out, I mean, he had a tremendous year managing the Red Sox. It's absolutely, to me, it's absolutely amazing that they ended up going to the ALCS. I really do. I just incredible.
Peter Game is with us here, Peter. You called it the so-called scandal. You like this Astros team. It seems like you have a different opinion. We here feel like the media has been pretty biased on this thing, that no one has called out. Where is the letter, the New York Yankees letter? Why hasn't that been opened yet? Why hasn't anybody – I mean, the Red Sox had the game plan to not tell the commissioner, possibly not tell the commissioner the truth. It's been all – and the Astros have been the scapegoat. How do you feel the media has handled this entire situation with the Astros?
Well, I know what you're saying. I mean, I'm not sure where the whole original Watts thing and so forth with the Yankees exactly what went on. What went on with the Red Sox was basically what most every team does. They had the Watts thing the year before, 2017, when John Farrell was the manager. But the other stuff was more about base running and so forth. But I mean, I heard a guy on MLB Network Radio say, "Well, you know, Altuve's never done anything outside of Houston. His OPS was 100 points higher on the road than it was at home in that year. The only player of the Big Five that was better in Houston than he was on the road was Correa that year. And I have grave doubts that Gurriel was using the signs. I know with a promise of never talking about it with the individual because he doesn't want to turn his back on his teammates, that one of those guys never used any of that. He didn't want to know. So it's, yes, they did. It was an overly elaborate system. But what about the pitchers who are banging, the pitchers who are banging the wastebaskets? They got their World Series rings. They got their World Series bonuses. And nobody ever says anything about that. So it was a complicated process. And I agree that it is exactly in that, okay, if it was 2017, and I believe strongly that that's the only year it existed. And it's, you know, okay, they did win that year. But again, I mean, even in the postseason, they hit better on the road than they did at home. So, you know, was it really life-changing or, you know, franchise-changing? I don't think so. And the fact that they got to the ALCS three times in 5 years, and that was the first year, tells us that that's an extraordinary group of players. You know, I don't want to go into trying to compare. Yeah, somebody asked me about it. They said, "Well, what about the Yankees in the late '90s, going up to until 2001 when they got beaten in the World Series?" So, you know, you can't really catch 20 years earlier. That was a great group of players, and they had great pitching, and no question about it. And they had a core of players that stuck together the way the Astros did, but they were also older than these Astros guys. I don't know. I think when the Astros beat the Red Sox in Boston, and there were some fans, unfortunately, in my hometown, chanting obscenities about a player or two, I was embarrassed, really embarrassed. And because what does that have to do with 2021? That's not why the the wastebaskets or whatever they were not the reason the Astros beat the Red Sox in the playoffs. I mean, it's just it's the past. It happened. Alex Cora has won one Manager of the Year, and he's going to win another, possibly. AJ Hinch is doing a phenomenal job in Detroit. The people who move around have done really well. I mean, all the things that got said, right down to, you know, a couple of Astros coaches supposedly whistling. Well, one of them can't whistle, but other than that, that was a great accusation. You know, I'm tired of it, and I'm not condoning what they did in 2017. I don't think any of the people who participated would, if they thought they could talk, would condone it either. And yeah. That's what I think of those people. And I'll tell you, like one guy I really like him, I really felt badly for Alex Bregman watching the postseason. He's not the same guy. That bravado, I think he's been so beaten up by it that he just wasn't the same guy, which is a major factor in losing the World Series. Because I think we all know, when he's in the right frame of mind, that wonderful cockiness really carries over to being a big-time, big-game player.
Absolutely.
And I thought he was just... I watched it, and I talked to a couple of my friends and, you know, from ESPN and a couple of other places. I said, this makes me sick. I mean, okay, he participated. It was 4 years ago, and he's a really good player. And to me, he's a fascinating guy. And I just felt, you know, enough is enough. I mean... Okay, they lost to the Braves, now Correa's going to be gone, and we'll see the rest. But we're still going to have to listen to all this about Altuve from now on in the future.
Hope not.
We're really looking at a potential Hall of Fame player. Now, I think of him, and this is one of my favorite memories. I have a friend who used to work with the Astros when they were in Kissimmee in spring training, and I think it was his first year on the 40-man roster. He would walk across from the field where they worked out and go over down below to the minor leagues. So I asked my friend, "What is Jose Altuve doing?" He said, "Oh, he goes over there to check on the young Latin players to see if there are any that really need help or anything that he can talk to them about in case they feel more comfortable talking to him in Spanish and so forth." It's just in his nature to give an hour every day after he works out to go over and help other people. And I think about that, and I hear people screaming obscenities or, you know, making this QAnon things about him wearing wire caps and things like that. And I go, you know, please. I mean, we should be happy that, I mean, I know Dusty Baker said to me, and Dusty is so conscious of good teammates. He said, you know, I mean, obviously, he said, I had great teammates. I had Henry Aaron, Reggie Smith, people like that. But Altuve is right up there as a teammate to anyone I've ever seen. And I thought, well, what Dusty's thinking about that for all the years that Dusty's been giving his life to baseball, that tells us a lot about the guy.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's Peter Gammons right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Peter, we really appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us, and hopefully we can do it again soon.
Well, I'll tell you, just be happy. It's in this era to be in the World Series a couple of times and be in the ALCS three times in 5 years, is especially when you're in a division with the money that they have in the American League East. That's pretty good.
Yeah, and really good.
Astros fans will be pretty happy to be able to watch that team.
It's been a lot of fun. Hey, we appreciate it. Peter Gammons right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 938 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Time for us to talk about Aqueduct Plumbing. That's our peeps over there. TheBenchPlumbing.com. TheBenchPlumbing.com. The thing about the plumber, Lance, is that when they come to your house, I'm not sure that you can ever, you ever feel like, oh, I'm pulling around. I'm sure I'm going to get a great price here.
No, not in the past I didn't.
No, listen, with these guys, I believe it. I really do believe when they come to your house, they're going to give you an on-site estimate for the job, and they're going to give you a square deal every single time. They're going to come to your home. They're not going to charge you to come there, which a lot of plumbers will do anyway. Yeah. But I really, really do believe that these guys are going to give you a square deal. And you know, a plumber can just go, well, yeah, that's going to be however much.
Yeah, and it can be from leaky faucets, you know, replacing the stuff that goes in the back end of the shower, because I've had that done before, and I didn't feel comfortable about the people doing it, how much they were charging, things like that. Now that I've got Aqueduct Plumbing, and I can go to thebenchplumbing.com, it's a game changer. From repiping to retrofitting tankless water heaters to just handling basic plumbing issues, your friends over at Aqueduct Plumbing Company are the company to call. So yep. Go to thebenchplumbing.com, thebenchplumbing.com.
Or 281-488-6238. It's Aqueduct Plumbing. They're at your disposal.
This is ESPN 97.5. Real fun sports. The conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Apparently a man went to the AutoZone store, Lance, and...
get in the zone, AutoZone.
A man drove up to an AutoZone store in a stolen vehicle at around 6:45 p.m. Apparently they wouldn't let him in because they were closing the store. So he was so mad that he couldn't rob the store, he opened up fire from outside, shooting at the employees inside.
Because he couldn't rob it.
Yeah, that's according to court
documents. Open the door now!
You a-holes won't let me in to rob you? And he shot. Another man at an AutoZone store, apparently he wanted to... A New York man behind bars, allegedly he broke into an auto parts store so he could steal tools so he could fix the car he had just stolen. How about...
Get in zone, AutoZone. Yeah.
AutoZone is under fire here. Apparently, a man... there is a senator, or what is he? Tim Smith, liberal Victorian member... for Q, apparently, he's in England. Okay, he's a member of Parliament. Apparently, he has called for the resignation of some of his rivals 47 times. 47 times.
That's like what Twitter does.
Yeah.
I call for you to be fired.
Right.
They've called for Dave Chappelle's resignation 47 times.
Well, now they're calling for his resignation, but he says, oh, no, I don't deserve to be fired or lose my job. Apparently, he blew a 131 and ran his car into a house. But he doesn't think that that really deserves.
No.
And that's really any reason to be fired.
Listen to me. I've called for many a resignation. I know what it means for someone to be worthy of resignation. And I can tell you, as an expert in the field, I'm not one of them. This does not reach to the level of transgression that gets you resigned. By me, of course.
By me.
A calling for.
There's a 12-year-old boy in China that didn't have much to do. So apparently he...
Let me guess.
Okay.
Does it involve driving? Does it involve a vehicle?
Nope.
Hacking?
Nope.
Setting a fire?
None of that. It involves 31 magnetic balls that he put up his...
Okay.
Yes.
Hold on a second. Did you say a 12-year-old from Florida?
No, this is from China.
So a Chinese kid put...
31
magnetic balls up.
That's like the Florida of Asia, though, right?
China? I don't know.
I don't know that.
I don't know what it is. I'd
call
be curious.
Anybody. You really want to get banned by China? Is that what you want?
Do you want to be the China of Asia? Have you seen what happens to your... what's going to happen to your Space Jam movie?
Yeah.
You will. You're done. Guess what's going to happen to your games, Aaron? This show will get... hey, wait a minute, if Eric keeps doing that, we're going to get pulled off. Like, China won't play our show anymore.
Yeah.
Like they did the Rockets.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be careful what Aaron. You said.
Yeah. You're going to lose a guy with $25 million. Okay. Yep. Slow your roll. A local man was arrested. Police said he held up a mail carrier at gunpoint. What do you think he stole from the mail carrier?
Any type of tax credit, child credit checks?
Nope. Rubber bands. At gunpoint. That's all he took was her rubber bands.
Who's got rubber
band. Yeah.
So at gunpoint, does it have any other further? It's these stories you find. It's just unbelievable that these people live in the world we live in.
Apparently, readers are angry at DC Comics. Apparently, police were sent to protect the homes of several DC Comics artists after recent news that the current Superman is bisexual.
Yeah, I've seen that.
You've seen that?
Yeah, I've seen that story.
The police have to protect them from... Are you that angry that Superman is bisexual that you're going to attack people at their homes?
Is that really true, or is that a story somebody puts out to try to garner?
No,
You think people really were going to come after the...
Apparently, they were threatened. They were threatened at their homes.
Okay. I mean, it's also the world we live in, so it's possible.
Yeah, no. I think that's absolutely...
It's totally possible. Yeah.
A Portland family is none too pleased. Apparently, their family thought that their grandfather's body was going to be donated to science.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, they learned that his body was being autopsied, viewed by the public in an oddities event in Portland. So everybody was able to watch the autopsy of their grandfather.
What was the oddities event?
Wouldn't it be odd to watch someone being autopsied?
Yeah, but also, was he part of the oddities? Did he have something going on?
I don't know that he had 31 magnetic balls. I don't know that, but he certainly... It is an oddity to watch.
How is China kicking our ass so bad?
I don't know.
I mean,
Granted,
they don't show up in News of the Weird as often as Florida.
I need you guys to clarify something for me because somebody hit the text line with this. Apparently, China's a country and not a state. Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh, I need to work on my geography, apparently, because I had no idea that China was a country.
Well, yeah.
Oh, somebody said
that. Well, but still, it could be China.
You said of the Asian country.
Of Asia, yeah.
Of Asia. But apparently, I don't know that China is a country. Okay.
Yeah,
but it made sense the way you said it.
You said it made, it made sense. Somebody was a little. Apparently, one of the side effects, a woman is claiming that the COVID side effects, Lance, have you ever heard of this? It made her strip naked and drink body wash. And she's claiming that it is a side effect of COVID. It made her strip naked, inappropriately wash her clothes in a toilet, and drink shower gel.
Are we sure that was the COVID? Did she say COVID or the vaccine? COVID?
Or
bath
salts.
Are we sure this was... Yeah. I mean, it's got to be the COVID. There's no way it was the meth. No way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm almost 100% sure it was the COVID.
This dude? He's
so he's got a lot of face tattoos. He's got a Rolls Royce tattoo.
Unfortunately, we found out he never had a Rolls Royce.
Oh yeah. No, that's heartbreaking.
Would you want a Rolls Royce face tattoo? What about like maybe? What do you drive? A Toyota?
No, I drive a Chevy Traverse.
A Chevy Traverse. Yeah. Do you want a Chevy logo?
A Toyota. That's a random thing. What do you drive? A Toyota? What?
No, you drive.
What is this? I don't have 32 things up me either. So no. Well, that's not China, but still.
It's not. No. Do you want a Chevy tattoo on your face? Would you like a nicer, like a Bentley? Because you want,
No, if you're going to talk about it, be about it. If you have a tattoo, you should have that car.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't have a Rolls Royce tattoo on your face without having a Rolls Royce.
But that's true. Yeah, but this guy did it anyway.
Well, that's why he hit News of the Weird, didn't he?
He did.
Somebody wrote an article about
him. The weird thing was he doesn't even have a Rolls Royce.
I know. Boy, the weirdest part of this whole story about the guy with the giant Rolls Royce logo on the side of his face is he doesn't even have it. That's the weird part. Is it? Did you mention his pick? I also saw the giant forehead tattoo, too, by the way.
Comic strip across the
forehead. I'm not sure that's the weirdest part of the story, that he didn't have a Rolls Royce.
We're done. We are done. And reminding you, people, 97.5 and 92.5, the occasional invitational brought to you by SiteJap, is coming up December 1st. It's at Wildcat Golf Club. We're going to tee off at 10:30. You got beverages. You got Michelob Ultra, Cutwater Spirits, lunch from Frankie's Italian Kitchen, dinner from Orleans Seafood, 18 holes of golf. You definitely want to be there. It is a lot of fun. So join up at ESPN975.com. We're done. Charlie Polillo is next. Is Charlie here today? Charlie's here today. So Charlie's next right here on ESPN975 and 92.5. Y'all have a great day, buddy.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.